The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Welcome back to the Gabe Kuhn Show. This is Connor Dunning filling in for Gabe Kuhn until he is back. You know what that music means. I am now joined by your radio voice of the Memphis Grizzlies, Eric Hasseltine. Eric, what is up, my friend?
How are you, buddy?
I'm doing okay. I do want to ask you, last night, 51-point win by the Memphis Grizzlies over the Golden State Warriors. For your job on radio, can it be difficult to keep up the energy when it is a blowout like that?
If you're on the losing end. Nah, we had fun with it. What you don't want to do is pile on the opponent. No matter what you think of them, whether you dislike them, like them. We obviously have games you would like to see the win maybe more than others. Like, you're more disappointed if you don't beat a team, and there's rivalry games. I mean, you want to beat your rivals, but, and then there's teams you have a lot of respect for that you just value the competition. But no, we just had fun with it. And then, you know, the guys that are playing, that get in when you've, and this is the problem with this team. It's not a problem. It's a great thing, is that they play everybody anyway. So it's not like, you know, the first time a guy gets out there, it's going to be the only time you're talking about him. So you want to keep the energy up. I mean, everybody plays for the most part. So, it's not, because I think what was in play, a couple of things, was the franchise record for most 3-point shots made in a game. You were contemplating at one point, could they get to the 73 that they beat the Thunder by? But you're just happy to see good basketball from your side. And I'll be honest with you, I spent some time with one of my really close friends in the league who works security for Golden State and one of their people. And, they basically came in and went out and had a couple of drinks the night before, just, you know, catching up. And they said, you guys are going to crush us tomorrow. And I was like, bump the brakes there. You know, this team tends at times to, when they have an opponent that they really want to beat, you know, maybe try to do too much, maybe try too hard. And I think that was the most encouraging thing for me last night, was coming off a game against the Lakers where they clearly kind of got into the, we're going to make the highlight reel play, we're going to show these old guys who the new dog is and who the new team on the block aside from the Thunder is, and it didn't work. And even though they lost, and the Lakers had control of that game for a while, but the Grizzlies still had their opportunities to win that game. And you're like, as poorly as you played, you didn't win the game. They did miss some shots, but I thought the Lakers kind of baited them into doing what they wanted. And the last time these two teams played, the defensive game plan for Golden State was brilliant. They really forced the Grizzlies out of it. So I give the Grizzlies coaching staff a ton of credit for figuring out how to attack what their defense was doing. And then on top of that, the guys basically saying, it's 1 of 82. No matter what happened with Dennis Schroeder and the Nets, no matter what happened in Oakland or San Francisco, wherever they play now, San Francisco, and no matter what Draymond Green said, we got to go get this win because it matters and it's 1 of 82. But don't let the outside things get into your head and try to do too much. And I thought that was the fun thing about it.
Yeah, that's when I opened the show. I said one of the most impressive things of last night to me was the business-like mindset the Grizzlies had after the game. They were celebratory, and, you know, John Morant said that it was fun, but I thought Jaren Jackson Jr.'s comments were the best, where he said, this is one of 82. It's a lot of games. It's fun to have a game like this. We absolutely had it circled because of the comments that Draymond Green said and toward Zach Edey, but they had composure last night. They went out there, and they had a mission, and they did it. And one thing that I was so impressed with, too, was Zach Edey and Jalen Wells. The composure that they were able to keep in that game and have such a big impact on it. Jalen Wells held Steph Curry to the worst game of his career last night, and he's a rookie.
Right. Yeah, it was impressive what they did. There's no question. And then you talk about Zach and his composure. You know, I understand why Draymond was all like, when they went chest to chest, they both hit each other. I literally thought they were going to call a double foul, or they were going to see the retaliation, because Draymond did hit him first. What they blatantly missed was Draymond folding Zach Edey's jersey, you know, at the three-quarter court mark, and just like tugging it to the point where at my seat at the top of 104, I could see it. I'm like, how do you not see that? He's a foot behind him, and the jersey is like in his hand. I mean, it's easy to see. They missed that. Happens. But Zach didn't take the bait, and my boss today on the flight here to Atlanta basically showed me a picture from social media where Draymond is losing his mind and Zach Edey's just got a smile on his face looking right at him, and Santi Aldama's in the background laughing at him. So, you know, I think it shows to what this team believes that they can do, if that makes sense. I think they believe that they're a good team. I think they believe they have an opportunity to do some really special things this year, potentially. I think Draymond said it best in the game in San Francisco, where he said that offense is like nothing we've ever seen. They do a lot of different stuff. And when it's moving, man, it's fun to watch. And so, Connor, I never thought there'd be a day where I'd say, yeah, the Grizzlies have the best offense in the NBA, and right now it's not even close, but that's where they're at. It's not that they have the best individual offensive talents. Their team basketball is second to none. Yeah, Jason Tatum can take a guy isolation and score 40 any given night, no problem. KD can still do that. Giannis can do that. Luka can do that. Curry can even still do that. But the way – this was the thing that blew me away. You scored 144 points. 144. And not one guy had more than 21.
Mm-hmm.
Not one guy had more than 21 points. That's literally – if you would have told me there's going to be a game this year where the Grizzlies put 144 on the board, I'm like, well, then Ja went for like 40, or Jaren went for 40 or 50, or Dez went for 40 or 50, and then one of the other guys went for 20 or 30, and, you know, then you got into the bench, because if you're scoring that many points, more than likely you're blowing somebody out. Not one player had more than 21 points. And you're like, it's a complete and total team effort. And I talked with Dave Yeager this year when the Grizzlies played the Bucks. And, you know, we've always been close. And he says, I love what this offense does. And he goes, your coaching staff has designed something brilliant. And it's really hard to figure out. It's really hard to stop, because everybody is a threat. You can't pick your poison with this team, because everybody can beat you. And I don't think they understood how good Jalen Wells would play. And, yeah, if you look at his numbers and you're just a pedestrian fan, like, Jalen Wells, good. A kid averages like 11 points a game. Let's not act like he's the greatest player in the league. And I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is that his composure and poise and ability to make shots and ability to make the right decision has dramatically impacted this team. It's given them more depth. And, you know, we still haven't seen this team with Gigi Jackson, who last year, let's be frank about it, like, put a ton of points on the board for a team that had nobody. He was the guy. But being the guy, he also had to see double and triple teams. Gigi Jackson could put the ball in the bucket, and he was shooting it well. It's that high arcing three. But I'm telling you, like, when you get him and add even more depth to this team, it's scary. And I think the comment that somebody said to me was one of the power rankings, and I think I told you this the other day. Said, imagine if Desmond Bain gets to Desmond Bain typical form, where he's shooting 43% from three.
Right.
Look how dangerous this team will be then. Like, you're like, uh-oh. So you're not missing threes from your best shooters. Luke Kennard got into his groove last night. That was just fun. It's fun. And, you know, I do still have some friends in that organization. Now, it's not on the court playing, but, you know, their radio guy was one of my mentors and my buddy in the security side. And they were nothing but complimentary of how good the Grizzlies look. And that's when you know you've turned some heads. So I like seeing that for these guys because they've worked really hard. They have some clunkers every now and then. We've seen that. But for the most part, this team is not just winning. They are blowing teams out when they win games.
Yeah, and to your point, they are first in the NBA of points per game. First in the NBA, points in the paint. Second in the NBA, assists per game. And I don't think I would have ever seen a night where the Memphis Grizzlies hit 27 threes. That was unbelievable to watch. But one of the reasons they've been able to make this leap on the offensive end has been Santi Aldama. And I don't know if you know this, but today he is fifth in six man of the year odds all of a sudden.
Oh, yeah. He should be probably even higher. Who's first?
Peyton Pritchard.
Yeah, because he's in Boston, and he has had a really good year. And who's second, third, and fourth?
Well, see, the second, third, and fourth, it was like Buddy Hield was in there and a few other guys, and I think that they may drop out. I would not be surprised if in a few weeks
down to those
you see Santi at the top of that list.
Yeah, his last, including the game in L.A. now, I think, his last 17 games, he's shooting like 60% from the field, 60% from three. He's grabbing double doubles and he's playing with just an extreme amount of confidence. And I think the time over in the international competition has really helped him. And it doesn't hurt that it's a contract year, but this system fits what he does. So I'm happy for him. He's one of my favorite dudes on the roster. I mean, there's not a guy on the roster I don't like, so I don't want to say it like that. But I've always gotten along very well with Santi and understood he had a lot to learn. Coming from Spain to Loyola, then to the Grizzlies, but man, it's fun. He'll do whatever you ask him to, and that's what everybody's doing. Everybody's put their own personal gains aside for the betterment of the team. I mean, even Ja, you can make the case that Ja some nights tries to show out, and that's fine. You want your superstar should do that sometimes, but like Jaren has played just magnificent overall basketball. Even Dez, who's not shooting the ball particularly well for him, and he's frustrated by it. But you look at the numbers where he has a night where he's 3 for 8 or 3 for 9. He still has 6 or 7 rebounds, or he has 6 or 7 assists. He's doing other things. Marcus Smart saying, "Yeah, I'll come off the bench." Santi, Luke, there's not a lot of me first guys right now in this organization, and that's fun to watch.
Yeah, right now, Santi Aldama, over his last 10 games, is shooting 55% from three. This is a 7-footer shooting 55% from three for the Memphis Grizzlies.
Yeah.
You absolutely love to see it. And, yeah, I've been making the argument for a while now that even though Ja Morant isn't scoring his most points per game in a season, I actually think that we are witnessing his best season overall because of the efficiency of his passing, because of how he is showing up on the defensive end. And it just feels like this team has learned lessons from the last few years, and it is that business-like mindset. We are going to celebrate when we have playoff success, but we have learned in the past that you can't celebrate too early.
No, I agree with you, and I will say this. Look at his defensive effort in the first 5 minutes of that game.
Yep.
He went at Dennis Schroeder and said, you want to pop off to me when you're with Brooklyn? I'm coming. And he went, he just took the ball from him twice. He said, just give me that. I looked at Michael Wallace, who stepped in for EP last night, because EP usually does the home games. And I just went, wow, that's a bad sign for Golden State right there. If he's going to play like that, he's going to make a real long night for Dennis Schroeder. And that was the goal. And he did just that. So, yeah, his passing this year has been magnificent. I was thinking about what you said about 27 threes. I think, and granted, it's such a different style when it was grit and grind, but I think there may have been a month where the team didn't make 27 threes in a month, let alone a game. I mean, it wasn't part of the scheme. They were the physical bullies on the block. And, you talk about everybody's, for whatever reason right now, talking about ratings and all that stuff. And people aren't watching as much. I wish people would forget that the Grizzlies in the past were this grinded out, slow down team and take a look at the numbers, because this is must see basketball right now. If you're a basketball fan, they take a lot of threes, but they're not just reliant on the three. They're scoring in the paint. They're scoring in transition. They are coming down. The threes they take are not forced threes. They're manufactured by good ball movement, by good offense, and by good teamwork. And if you want to draw up what team basketball looks like, look at the team leading the NBA in scoring, and they don't even have a guy in the top 20 in the NBA in the scoring average leaders.
I think one of the cooler moments of last night, too, you mentioned G&G, was John Morant, when he had a defensive moment, looked over at Tony Allen and was able to do the first team all defense. You have Zach Randolph around the organization. It's just, it feels rare to have one era kind of support the other. And, you know, that's one of the special things about Memphis Grizzlies basketball.
I saw Zach after the game last night. I saw his daughter, who's here with the Louisville women's team. And, you know,
she's got that jab step.
I told the story on the air.
She's got that jab step.
She's tough. She's tough, man. So I told the story on the broadcast that years ago, Zach and his daughter Mac, Macklin is her name, but we just call Mac, and I did a commercial for Ashley Furniture, and you know she was like 10 years old, and I walk up the stairs and she points at me. She says, "Hey, what's up, co-star?" And I'm like, "You got to be kidding me! What a polished young woman she is, and great basketball player." And Zach is really proud. But we talked after the game, and he just kind of looked at me. You know, Zach is a man of few words. He just looked and shook his head, and he did the Zach Randolph look down. He's like, these young dudes, they dudes. And I'm like, it couldn't have been said any better. They're dudes. They go after it. And they respect them, and Tony respects them. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun. And, you know, I got to give credit to John Martin, who inspired me last night. He was there with his lovely wife, and said, "I expect a Hall of Fame game call tonight." I don't know if I gave him that, but certainly had a lot of fun doing it.
Your Santi call was incredible, I will say.
Which one was that?
It was George's favorite moment last night of the game when Santi was going crazy and you were going. You said something about like Santi in Spain or something. It was awesome. I think he said
Buenos noches.
Yeah, that's it. That's what it was. Yeah, you're like Buenos noches, Santi Aldama.
And Michael says, "You just told him good night." I'm like, "Nah, it's good evening." I think is the proper way. But yeah, I think yeah. So yeah, we were having fun. I mean, it's fun to watch them, even on the nights where they struggle at times, and you see it, and you can kind of tell when it's coming. I mean, look, I'll be the first to tell you, I did not expect this team to be 19-9, 28 games into the year. I just didn't. I thought that they were going to have a lot to learn with a new system and new faces, and it was going to take about 15, 20 games minimum to get going. Because it's a lot like what Indiana went through. They have picked this up and just started rocking and rolling like it was old hat to them. And, you know, Tuomas Asiasalo, who's one of the architects of the offense, I've had a chance to spend some time with him. I mean, the man, he's brilliant. He's absolutely brilliant. And you got to give, not only for picking players that fit the system, the front office took a bold move and made some decisions that weren't very popular with a lot of people. And they said, "We think this guy is something special, and we're going to go get him when we have the chance." And they did, and they changed some things up. And it's hard. You and I talked about it in the summer. It's hard when you are very close to people that are very good at what they do, and the bosses say, "We're going to try something else because we think that's the best thing for us." And I don't think it's meant as any disrespect to the guys that were let go, but I think it's just what they felt like was the best move for the organization. And, you know, it's tough. It's a hard deal. But, like, when then you get to know the new guys, and it always comes down to that, you're like, okay, I can get down with this guy. They brought in quality people at every turn of the page. There's rarely been a guy that I can recall that I just went, you know, this dude doesn't really fit. This dude isn't something that's going to work here. That hasn't happened. So I think that's a testament to Zach Kleiman and Tayshaun Prince and Rich Cho in the front office and putting together and making an unpopular decision, being willing to put themselves out there like that. You know, nothing comes – the great rewards do not come without great risk. And if you're not willing to take a risk, you're never going to see those rewards.
Words to live by. Eric, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to join me.
Brother, Merry Christmas to you and Kat and everybody there, to George, Gabe. We got a lot to be thankful for, so appreciate you having me on.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That was Eric Hasseltine, radio voice of the Memphis Grizzlies. When we come back, we got to make you some money. Lee Sterling from Paramount Sports is going to join me. Stick around. You're listening to Connor Dunning on 99 FM.
Hey, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
ESPN. Welcome back to the Gabe Kuhn Show. It is time to make all of you some money because I am now joined by the best in the business. He is Lee Sterling from Paramount Sports and the Locked On Gambling Network, the number one document capper for football, MLB, basketball, UFC, and NHL. You can find him on Twitter at Paramount Sports. Lee, how's it going?
I'm good. Can't complain. Settling in. Normally, go down to the Keys, down to Alamorada. There's usually an arts festival this weekend, and go with my wife and take the dog and relax in 70-degree weather and have dinner outside, but college football changed everything, so we'll have to wait another week or two.
Priorities, yep. Am I right, Lee?
Right.
Before we get into the picks, can you let my listeners know where they can find your picks?
Well, they can, how about this, we have a big game tonight, and normally we would charge our clients, says we won actually 8 of the last 9 Friday night games. I have a game tonight in the college football playoffs. It's going to be the Notre Dame and Indiana game. If they go to the website right now, we'll give it to them for free. Just go to ParamountSports.com where it says Purchase Picks, and first option available. Once you fill out everything in the box, just put the word free, and just my gift to you. Hopefully I can make you some coin and get that jingle in your pocket, and then you want to consider coming on for the rest of the season with me. All
absolutely.
Right?
Get some extra money for those Christmas presents everybody yep. is buying. But the first bowl game that we have up today, the ReliaQuest Bowl, Alabama minus 10 versus Michigan.
So, you know, even though Michigan played really well, that was their Super Bowl. And people might say, well, Alabama's going to go through the motions. They're not going to be in the college football playoff. But Jalen Milroe has something to prove. And they don't have many opt-outs. They have a defensive back and one of the top two running backs. But other than that, I think they're intact. At Michigan, I mean, 4 games this year, they've thrown for over 125 yards. I mean, this is going back to like the 1960s, 1970s, this offense. They will have some reinforcements coming in the spring. They have one of the top quarterbacks in the country joining them, but I think it's a little too late. I think Alabama pulls away here, 38-13.
I think Alabama has something to prove. I agree with you. You know,
right.
They want to give their fan base something to go out and have some momentum with, considering what happened with the college football playoff rankings. Next up, you have the Kinders Texas Bowl, LSU -1 versus Baylor.
Yes, LSU's been just so up and down this year, but you know, they have the talent, and the weakness for Baylor twofold is their secondary, and also if you want to go against this LSU defense, you got to be able to throw the screen pass. That's what they're most vulnerable to, and Baylor doesn't throw a screen much, and also special teams. I think LSU has the advantage, so as long as LSU comes to play, they're probably the right side. This should be a really high-scoring game. This could be a fun game. I've got LSU winning the game here, 44-38, slight lean to LSU.
Next game up, you have another college football playoff team that was left out, Ole Miss -15 versus Duke in the Tax Slayer Gator Bowl.
Yeah, Ole Miss, I mean, they're acting like this is a big game for them. So, you know, if they would have taken care of business in the Kentucky game, they would be in the playoff right now. But talent-wise, without Duke, without their quarterback, I think they're in trouble. In fact, all their other quarterbacks have thrown a total of 1 pass all season. So unless they can get, you know, something like 3 turnovers, I can't see them staying in the game. So this Ole Miss team defensive line should just dominate the Duke offensive line. So sometimes you got to lay it if you want to play it. I like Ole Miss big here, 43-13.
And then next up, we're jumping into the college football playoff. This is one of the more enjoyable ones. I think that we have a chance for an upset in this one, but I do think that Texas should probably take care of business against Clemson. Right now, they are favored by 12.
So I was a little shocked at the line. I thought that this line was going to be something like 7.5, 8.
Right.
And, you know, I think Texas is really talented. I think we're going to see, in the end, you're going to see a lot of kids drafted in the first, second, third round from this team, but if they don't win a national championship, something's wrong. And I think it starts with the quarterback, Quinn Ewers. Quinn Ewers looked really good to start the season, but since that point has not looked good at all. So, you know, I think they should have gone to Arch Manning. They're number 106 in the country in red zone scoring percentage. And I think the game plan is there for Clemson's defense. Just keep everything in front of them and then shrink the field in the red zone. So How do you lay double digits with an offense that's not clicking on all cylinders?
Right.
Top of that, Cade Klubnik, quarterback for Clemson. How about this? Where does he come from? Austin. Played Austin Westlake. Played, actually, Quinn Ewers. They matched up four times. And in those four meetings, Cade Klubnik won three of the four, including a state championship. I like Texas to win the game 20-16, but I think 12 points is too much.
I agree with you there. And then the game that I care about the most this weekend, I am a Tennessee Volunteer football fan. It sounds like that there's going to be a lot of orange up there this weekend, but it is Ohio State favored by 7 against Tennessee.
Yeah, so the question is, where is Ohio State mentally?
Right.
For some reason, they should win that game 9 out of 10 times against Michigan, but their offensive line, an absolute mess. Only 77 rushing yards in that game versus Michigan. Now, some people were talking about weather. It's going to be mid-20s. It's only three degrees difference from Columbus, Ohio to Knoxville, Tennessee.
The Smokies, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's cold up there. So I don't think weather is going to be a factor. The offensive line, as I mentioned, for Ohio State, just an absolute mess. Tennessee's front seven, I think, is top five in the country. So they played in venues like Georgia already, so they're not going to be intimidated. They've got a running game with Dylan Sampson, almost 1,500 rushing yards and 22 touchdowns. And teams, after losing as greater than a 19-point favorite, the next game, 37-67-4, wrong team favored, Tennessee outright 26-24. See you, Ryan Day.
Let's go, Lee. Let's go. Yep. I absolutely love that, and I totally agree with you. I think Dylan Sampson has been one of the more underrated college football players this season, broke records at Tennessee, has really helped them establish that running game, and it could help Nico calm down in a big game. That's going to be a key factor to take care of the football. You mentioned it earlier, but one more time, let the people know what the free play is. Notre Dame, -6.5 versus Indiana.
Just go to the website, ParamountSports.com, and click on Purchase Picks. My gift to you is the opening game tonight. Like I said, won 8 out of 9 games on Friday night. We're on a 21-6 roll here since the start of December. So you want to hop on board, go right there right now and fill everything out. Use the code word FREE, and we'll hand you the game for free tonight. That starts in a little over an hour and 20 minutes. So I want to wish you and your family and staff and all the listeners out there, happy and healthy holiday.
Lee, this is fantastic. We'll talk to you again before the Super Bowl.
Okay, sounds good. Take care.
Yes, sir. That was Lee Sterling, the best in the business from Paramount Sports and the Locked On Gambling Network, the number one documentary capper for football, MLB, basketball, UFC, and NHL. You can find him on Twitter at Paramount Sports. I highly recommend going and listening to Lee Sterling. He's going to make you a lot of money, and like we said, Christmas coming up, you need some extra cash in your pocket. Lee Sterling is here to help. When we come back, we're going to jump into the Blitz. You're listening to Connor Dunning on 99 FM, ESPN. I'm still flying from last night's win. Shout out, Creed. Shout out, Creed. Every day on the Gabe Kuhn Show, we got to do the Blitz. We'll do it right now. George, what you got for me?
The college football playoffs start this evening, where Indiana goes on the road to Notre Dame.
This is going to be an interesting game. I understand that a lot of people have issue with Indiana being in the college football playoff. Feinbaum said that he doesn't believe in Indiana's Cinderella run. When I look at the college football playoff games for this weekend, I think it will probably go chalk. However, I do think that this game between the Hoosiers and Notre Dame could be interesting, because even in that game against Ohio State, Indiana's run defense showed up in that game. They held Ohio State to under 100 yards rushing. I think they had 91. If they can go in there and establish that type of mood, especially in the running game, I think they'll have a puncher's chance at it. Now, that being said, you're at Notre Dame. It's going to be really difficult to win a game there. I think that the Hoosiers are going to stay in it for a little bit, but ultimately I do think that Notre Dame is going to win this game and advance in the college football playoff. George, what say you?
Yeah, I tend to agree. That said, I think Indiana might have a bit more than just a puncher's chance, especially with what we've seen out of Notre Dame's quarterback, Riley Leonard, compared to Curtis Rourke, who has been pretty darn solid this season. He's only thrown 4 interceptions to 27 touchdowns. He's been really solid for them. If they're able to establish their run game as well as slowing down Notre Dame, I might give them a little bit more than just a puncher's chance, but this will come down to the trenches.
Kurt Cignetti was the AP Coach of the Year. And like I said, you know, they have had one of the stingiest defenses in college football this year. Some would argue they have the best running defense in college football this year. Now, I can see the flip side of that where you say, well, who have they played? Who have they played? And again, I would say, well, Ohio State, that run defense showed up. The Hoosiers are scoring 43.3 points per game this season. I don't expect them to be able to come out and score 43 points against the Fighting Irish.
No.
I'm going to tell you this. I wish the Hoosiers could win this game. I just don't think they can, unfortunately. I'm rooting for them, but I do think that Notre Dame is going to come out the other side of it. Now, tomorrow is the big day. The big day for the college football playoff. I'm going to be sitting down on my couch, and I don't think I'm going to move for the rest of the day. The first one that we have up is going to be SMU at Penn State, and even though it's the James Franklin cloud hanging over this one, it's at Penn State. SMU barely snuck into the college football playoff. I expect Penn State to take care of business, no problem.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I do think this, to me, is more of a puncher's chance as compared to Indiana. Indiana's played those tight games before, but SMU sneaking in after what seemed like a miracle kick for Clemson. I've got Penn State all day.
Yeah, Penn State all day. If this was a neutral site game, I think it'd be a little bit more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't have much confidence in SMU. I just really don't. We didn't expect the ACC to be a two-bid league. And like you said, unless it was that fourth quarter comeback, they wouldn't even be in the college football playoff. So I do think that James Franklin gets over that big game hump and advances to the next round. After that, we will have Clemson in Texas, and I agree with Lee here. I agree with Lee Sterling. This one, the line is a little bit too big for
me. It's inflated.
I think that Texas is going to win this game, but I don't believe in their quarterback play if it's going to be Quinn Ewers. I have watched Texas play a lot of football this season. Yes, they played well against Georgia. It was a good football game. It was a gritty football game. But I don't know. Just watching them, something seems amiss. Something seems amiss. I think their defense is going to show up in this one, and that's how they'll ultimately win this game. I think Clemson, very much like SMU, kind of snuck into the college football playoff. 56-yard field goal by a freshman got them in. Improbable. Heading into that game, they didn't expect to be in the college football playoff. I think it'll be an okay game, but I do think that Texas is going to come out the other side.
My big thing with Texas is they seriously struggle with running the ball. Their run game has not been very good at times this season. And if Clemson can defensively kind of pen them in a little bit, especially with the way that Quinn Ewers has been playing as of late, I give Klubnik and the Tigers a bit of a bump here. I do think Texas ends up taking this. I just think they have more talent all around. But don't count out Clemson.
I think Texas wins, but I wouldn't be surprised if Clemson covered. I wouldn't be surprised.
12 points? Absolutely.
12 points is big. 12 points is big for this game.
Yeah.
And then the game that I care about the most. It's the one that has been stressing me out all week. I'll be watching it with a group of Tennessee fans. Shout out, everybody. Tennessee at Ohio State. David Cobb is fired up for this game. Sounds like he may be there. He's got a bunch of friends there. The code leaked online to Tennessee fans. Can't believe Ohio State allowed that to happen.
OSUFB, baby.
That is absolutely insane that was the code for the tickets. The resale market's been all Tennessee. It's still going to overwhelmingly be Ohio State fans at this game, as it should. It is a home game.
Sure.
But Tennessee's going to have a shot. They're going to have a shot. I think it is very, very important to establish the run with Dylan Sampson in this game. Put pressure on Ohio State. Make that quarterback make decisions. He does not do well under pressure. We have seen it in a couple of big games this season. If you force him to beat you, you'll have a shot. Relax, Nico. He's been good down the stretch here, but we have seen his decision-making is not great when the going gets tough. Establish that run with Dylan Sampson, rely on that defense, and Tennessee has a shot in this game.
I give, out of all of these underdogs, I give Tennessee the biggest chance to win this game.
I would agree.
I think Dylan Sampson, to me, right now in this game, is the best player on the field, full stop.
Oh, wow, okay.
I think he's better than right now. The way that they're playing right now, because Ohio State's offensive line has not been opening holes for these running backs, and unless they get outside the tackles, you're not getting a hole out of either of them, be that Judkins or Henderson. So I think Sampson's probably the best offensive player between both teams. Will Howard's decision-making, especially in some of these tight games, looking at you, Michigan, has been suspect, to say the least, and Oregon, mind you, suspect, to say the least. Tennessee's defensive line, their front seven, gets to him, gets it done. Give me the Vols.
Give you the Vols. Oh, I love that. I'm afraid of the jinx too much. I got to say Ohio State. I got to say Ohio State because I cannot blame myself for a Tennessee football loss if I pick Tennessee.
Fair enough, but I do have questions about how consistently they're able to get the ball to probably the second best player on the field, and that's Ibuka, because he's not even their leading receiver. Would that shock you? Because he's
I'm going to say nothing more.
Okay.
I'm going to say nothing more except for this.
Fair enough.
That's going to be it for the Gabe Kuhn Show today. George and I will be back on Monday, final show, before we take a break for the holidays. I want to thank my guests, Parker Fleming, Eric Hasseltine, and Lee Sterling. We'll be back same time, same place on Monday. For the Honorable King George, I'm Connor. Enjoy football this weekend. 51! 51! Peace.